big money for mortgage giant Freddie Mac.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. Freddie Mac is in the money. The government-backed mortgage giant posted very strong earnings today. Freddie pulled in $5 billion last quarter, the second largest profit in its history. John Sylvia is chief economist at Wells Fargo. He joins me now to talk Freddie and also Fannie Mae. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So, John, a strong showing from Freddie Mac this morning. Are you surprised to see earnings like this?
No, I think most housing lenders, they really have benefited for the last year or so in terms of the increase in new and existing home sales, as well as the improvement in mortgage originations. So, you know, it seems consistent with, you know, the housing recovery throughout the U.S., especially in some major metropolitan areas, Denver, Dallas, and Los Angeles, and San Francisco.
There's been a lot of talk recently, John, about dissolving Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, including from the president earlier this week. Will this bolster the case to dissolve them, or will this make it more compelling to keep them around?
I don't see getting rid of Fannie and Freddie unless you come up with something else that's going to do a little bit of the same thing. I think the problems for Fannie and Freddie in the past have really been asking those institutions to do too much, especially lending and changing the credit standards, et cetera. It's like, you know, you can have too much ice cream. And I think we may have asked Fannie and Freddie to do too much in the past. But when you keep their charter focused on secondary mortgage markets and providing liquidity with decent credit standards, I think they have an essential function to play in the U.S. economy.
John Sylvia is the chief economist for Wells Fargo. John, thank you.
You're welcome.
Transocean is releasing its earnings report later today. Just 3 years after the Gulf oil spill, the offshore drilling giant is going strong. Sarah McCammon reports.
You might think coming back from a disaster on the scale of the BP oil spill would take many years, even decades. But Transocean, the company that owned the Deepwater Horizon oil rig and provided the crew, is going strong. There's a simple reason, says Ben Brockwell, an industry expert with the Oil Price Information Service.
Crude oil is a very difficult commodity to find. It's a very difficult commodity to get out of the ground.
But Transocean has the technology to do that better than probably any of its competitors, says Matthew Jarecki. He's the head of oil and gas research at Global Data Energy. Jarecki says rigs equipped to drill for oil in challenging remote areas are in high demand.
Rig rates went as high as $600,000 per day for some of their rigs. And, you know, to drill an offshore well, it could take, you know, upwards of 100 days sometimes.
Jarecki says Transocean has invested those profits in still better technology, giving the company an ever bigger edge as oil reserves become more scarce. I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
It is back to school season. For one Georgia teacher, today is the first day she'll be away from her new baby. In fact, many teacher moms now plan their deliveries for the summer. Claire Sims of Georgia Public Broadcasting reports.
Ruth Wilson is putting her daughter down for a nap. When I visited her Northwest Georgia home a few weeks ago, she'd been a mom for 6 weeks.
There you go.
Wilson and baby Collins share just about everything, bedtimes, mealtimes, but Wilson knew that would have to change.
Yeah, it's going to be hard that first day.
Wilson is now back to work with the Jackson County Schools after taking only 10 days off. Collins arrived just before school let out for summer, which was part of the Wilson family plan. The new mom says she couldn't afford to take 6 weeks of unpaid family medical leave during the year.
And my husband's a farmer, and so it's not like he can tell the cows, hey, I'll be back tomorrow, I have a sick child. He has to go to work.
We had three teachers pregnant at our school this year.
That's friend, teacher, and fellow first-time mom, Leah Jones. Her son, William Henry, arrived last month. Jones says many educators aim for April, May, or June due dates.
so that they have that time off. It's definitely not a new idea.
But you won't find that tip in any teacher handbook. In fact, Georgia's Department of Education doesn't keep track of when or if teachers take maternity leave. But Jones says they do track student test scores.
It's rare that you would see a teacher have a baby in February, because it's right before high-stakes testing.
Ruth Wilson stands at the kitchen sink, scrubbing out bottles for baby Collins. Going back to school helps her budget and the Jackson County School District. A substitute teacher costs about $160 per day.
And I couldn't imagine leaving my classroom to someone else.
That's why Wilson is already planning to make her next baby a summer baby. She believes it's the best choice for all her children. In Jefferson, Georgia, I'm Claire Sims for Marketplace.
And finally, if you didn't finish your breakfast this morning, you might consider selling it. Leftover Swap is a smartphone app that will let you sell your uneaten food to a hungry buyer, kind of like Craigslist. The company says it wants to prevent food waste and bolster communities. And anyway, isn't pizza always better the next day? In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.